जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी। यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय श्री नाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीम फंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर थ्री टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। सो दिस इज द प्रोज वर्स। सो वी डायरेक्टली रीड आई थिंक वर्ड टू वर्ड एंड देन ट्रांसलेशन। असंग by detachment, nishita strengthened, jnana of knowledge, anala by the fire, vidhuta removed, ashesha unlimited, malanam whose dirty things, bhavat swabhavanam who have attained your qualities, atma at आत्मानम् who are self-satisfied, मुनीनाम् of great sages, अनवरता incessantly, परिगुणिता recounted, गुणगणा O Lord whose spiritual qualities, परममंगला supreme bliss, आयनम् produces, गुणगण कथन ही द चैंटिंग ऑफ हूज एट्रीब्यूट्स, असी यू आर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपर्ड वाइज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिदानंद स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। ट्रांसलेशन। डियर लॉर्ड, ऑल द ग्रेट सेजेस हु आर थॉटफुल एंड सेंटली पर्सन इनसिस्टेंटली रिकाउंट यूर स्पिरिचुअल क्वालिटीज। दिस सेजेस हैव ऑलरेडी बर्नड अप ऑल द अनलिमिटेड डर्ट थिंग्स by the fire of knowledge. They have strengthened their detachment from the material world. Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Yet even for those who feel spiritual bliss in chanting your attributes, Your personal presence is very rare. Purport. The pristine Maharaj Nabhi's sacrificial arena appreciate the personal presence of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and they consider themselves very much obliged. The Lord's appearance is rare even for great saintly persons who have become completely detached from their material, from the material world, and whose hearts are clean due to constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. Such people are satisfied by chanting the transcendent qualities of the Lord. The Lord's personal presence is not actually required. The priests are pointing out that the Lord's personal presence is very rare even for such elevated sages, but that he was so kind to them that now he was personally present. Therefore, the priests were very much obliged. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome everyone to this Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here we are discussing the appearance of King Vrishabhadev, who is actually the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. King Nabhi is currently performing a sacrifice so that the desire of his heart to get a son as good as the Supreme Lord is fulfilled. And the priests, those who are very sincere, they have performed the sacrifice and the Lord himself has appeared in his brilliant four-handed form. So seeing the appearance of the Supreme Lord in the sacrifice, the sages are properly saying, they are very much happy and they are obliged to the Lord. They are saying that it's very, very rare to obtain your audience, especially after sacrifices. Generally, when the sacrifice is fulfilled, so benedictions are received. But if the sacrifice is more successful, then the demigods who are bestowing the benediction, they also themselves appear. But when the sacrifice is more successful than that, then the Supreme Lord's voice is heard. And if the sacrifice is the most successful, then the Supreme Lord himself appears. So here the Supreme Lord has himself appeared. So sages are very, very happy. And they are kind of feeling that we are not so pure, and our sacrifice is not so pure, or even the desire of the king was not so pure, but still he appeared. So they are like very, very happy. And they are obliged. They are kind of very grateful for the Lord for appearing in the sacrifices. We'll just read the next three verses. Next word translation. Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form and qualities due to stumbling. So now, in previous verse, they're like very grateful and express their gratitude towards the Lord. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. So he also kindly appeared here. So now, after expressing their gratitude towards the Lord. Now, sages are asking for a benediction. The benediction which they are asking is very important. They say, "Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form and qualities due to you stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning or being in a miserable disease condition at the time of death when there is a high fever. We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy name, attributes and activities which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful lives." Parupada Prabhupada writes, "The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti. Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. Remembering the holy name, attributes, activities of the Supreme Lord at the time of death. Although we may be engaged in Lord's devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to disease condition or mental derangement. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember His lotus feet without fail at the time of death. When we are in such a precarious condition, in this regard, one may also see Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.9-10 and 14-15. So sages are telling that we want your remembrance at the time of death. But the intention behind your remembrance is so that we are purified of our sinful activities. So sages themselves say that we are not very pure devotees. We are worshipping you, we are glorifying you, but we are doing it for the fulfillment of some fruitive desire. A desire for a son or a benediction. So they are also telling here that we want to remember you, your name, form, attributes, but so that our sinful reactions are destroyed. Prabhupada is writing here, this is a very important prediction, but Prabhupada is writing from a pure devotional point of view, that just remembering Supreme Lord is itself auspicious thing. So looks like these sages, they are kind of Karma Mishra Bhaktas. So they are Bhaktas, they are being instructed by devotees to remember the Supreme Lord. But ultimately they want to be liberated from this sinful reaction and attain a better destination. Next verse, they're saying, "Dear Lord," now this was the benediction which they asked for themselves first. Then they remembered the king who sponsored the yajna. So they are asking for a benediction where king will also benefit. "So dear Lord, here is the great king Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son. Although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to heavenly planets or liberation back to Godhead." So they are kind of sarcastically telling that this king is wanting a son. What a misfortune. He is standing in front of a billionaire and asking for a penny. So you can give Swarga, which alludes them. Also, you can give liberation, which we may not desire, but he's asking for just a son. What is this? But the catch here is, King Nabi is wanting a son, but his son should be Bhavadrishi, exactly like you. Prabhupada writes, "The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for a son. The Lord could offer him promotion to heavenly planets or Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He has said, 'Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamayin.' He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, 'Mama janmani janmaneshware bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki tvai.' He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have said, 'Mama janmani janmani.' It doesn't matter to a devotee whether or not he takes birth life after life as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to God. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. Although Nabhi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in Lord's loving service. So here, these Brahmanas, they are saying that this king is wanting a son. Prabhupada writes that this is not a very great desire. When you worship Krishna, when you worship Vishnu, our only desire should be to serve him and not to ask for any benediction. Now, these kings, the genealogy of the dynasty of this Nabhi, and then Rishabhadev, and then Bharat Maharaj, and so many kings in lineage. This all kings are called as Rajarshis. Rajarshis means they're not ordinary human beings, they're not ordinary kings who are just very good in administration. But they are very, very spiritually minded people. When they rule, they themselves set a great example. And they also think for the future of all citizens. And especially in terms of following Dharma and establishing Dharma. So king is asking for a son who is as good as the Supreme Lord. And then Rishabhdev is born. And if we see what are the activities of Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev is the Supreme Person of God himself coming. So whenever Lord appears, yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. So he comes to destroy the dharma and to establish dharma. To protect the pious and annihilate the impious. So that is the general purpose for which the Supreme Lord appears. And similarly, Vishnu will also agree to Nabhi's proposal, because Vishnu will say that there is no one who is just like me. So if you want a son like me, so ultimately you are asking me to appear. So Vishnu agrees and says, I will appear. And he appears as Rishabhdev. And next chapter describes the activities of Rishabhdev. So when we think of Rishabhdev, I remember Rishabhdev, we just remember especially the fifth chapter. Tapo Divyam Putra Kaina Sattvam. Prabhupada's very famous favorite verse where he quotes that human life is meant for tapasya and not for sense gratification, which is obtained even in other lifetimes. So, instructions of Rishabhdev to his sons, especially Bharat Maharaj, they are most remembered. But these instructions are given in the later stage of his life. But his main purpose of coming was to establish dharma. And Bhagavatam explains in the next chapter, fourth chapter, that he established dharma by establishing a right example for all the varnas and ashramas. So when he was small, he went to the Gurukul and established standard behavior for brahmacharis. Then he got married and established a standard behavior for grihasthas. And then he left his home and established a standard behavior for paramahamsas. And also left instructions for his kingly sons, Bharat and 10 more, who took care of all the different varshas of the Jambudvip. And then he also gave instructions to 9 Navayogendras, who became paramahamsas and great devotees, brahmanas, renunciates. And also gave instruction to remaining 80 sons who were like brahmanas, priestly class of people. So he was not just speaking about paramahamsa life, but throughout his life, he established a standard of living for all the different varnas and ashramas. Especially ashramas, he was a kshatriya himself. So, we see that these great kings in great lineages, their only concern many times is to set and right example. So that the citizens follow. Because if you want to protect dharma or protect any values or virtues in society, we may start speaking about the virtues, but sometimes the action speaks, or many times or every time, the action speaks louder than the words. So even Supreme Lord comes, or even these great kings, when they come, they establish example first, and they also impart teaching. It is said that when we associate with devotees, we should learn from their teachings, and we should learn from their behavior. So So in teachings, they establish a standard. And even just observing their lifestyle, we can also learn what is right, what is wrong. So similarly, these kings in great dynasties, we see that previous chapter, Nabi's father is doing tapasya. Again, before entering a grihastha life, we see all the great kings going under tapasya. Nabi, after getting married, just before getting a son, doing tapasya. So that they are bestowed with benediction so that they can follow and set right example. So recently, I was reading Ramayana for this Ram Navami. And I could see that in Ramayana, it's not just Lord Ram who is establishing dharma by following in his own life. But if we see different characters in Ramayana, they themselves are also establishing dharma, the right character, to the greatest degree. Now, what is Ramayana? Some acharyas say it is a biography or a history of Lord Ram. But some say, no, Ram is not a very important character. It is Mother Sita who is the most important character. Because ultimately, it's a Sita's Swayamvara, Sita getting abducted, Sita getting rescued, then Sita's Agni Pariksha, and then Sita going back to earth. Or Sita's sons, Lav Kush, reciting Ramayana. So it's Sita is more important. Some said, no, Sita Ram, they are not the heroes actually. Actually, hero is Lakshmana, who sacrificed everything. Or Bharat, who ruled the kingdom in absence of Lord Ram and undergo so much austerities and followed Dharma to the highest degree and he's the greatest devotee. Some said, no, Hanuman is the greatest in Ramayana. And some said, no, not Lakshmana, not Bharat, Urmila is the greatest. Because she didn't even get association of the Lord Ram, didn't even get the association of her own husband, but just did tapasya alone in Ayodhya, serving 353 mother-in-laws. So every character is great and appears greater than each other. Why? Because everybody is trying to set an example. So when I was reading, I also got stuck with one character, and he was Dasharatha Maharaj. So he is also like a very great character. He establishes dharma through his life. We find this story that this great dynasty of Surya Vamsha. So Ramayana mentions that Khatavang Maharaj, or Bhagavat mentions in 9th Canto, that Khatavang Maharaj is a great king who fights on behalf of demigods, and then demigod asks for a benediction. And he asks benediction that, please tell me how many moments I still have to live, or how much more time, and there's a few moments. And immediately meditates on the Supreme Lord and perfects his life. Now the son of the Khatavang Maharaj, or Khatavang Maharaj sometimes also called as Dirgabahu, or sometimes his son is also called Dirgabahu. His son is Raghu. And on Raghu's name, this dynasty is called as Raghuvamsha, Raghukul. Now, Raghu's son is Aja. Now, Aja is a son, a king, a very great warrior. But he has a problem in his life that he is also not having any son. So, Aja is a devotee of Lord Shiva, worshipping Lord Shiva, but not having any son. So, one time he is traveling in a forest and then he sees a lake, and that lake has so many golden lotuses. So he immediately jumps in that lake, swims across to catch at least one lotus for him. But as soon as he goes ahead, the lotus also moves ahead. So he keeps swimming and the lotus also keeps traveling away from him. So he's not able to catch the lotus. So he gets frustrated and asks himself, why I'm not able to get this lotus, golden lotus flower, which is so attractive. And then from Akashvani happens that one who doesn't have a son cannot touch this lotus flower. So Aja becomes like very embarrassed that everybody knows that I don't have a son and I'm not qualified for so many things in this life. So then he becomes very unhappy and he prays to Lord Shiva that I'm worshipping you, but still I'm not having any good child or son. So Shivaji also becomes perturbed that this is my good devotee, so I should do something. So Shivaji takes the form of a Brahmana and he visits Aja's kingdom. Comes to his palace, begs for a charity. So King Aja comes and immediately he sees a Brahmana. So he goes to his treasury, brings so much jewelries, rubies, diamonds to give as a charity to the Brahmana. As soon as the Brahmana sees so much opulent charity, he says, no, I want something which belongs to you. This is all property of your citizens. So he says, oh, that's right. So he keeps it away and he tries to remove his own necklace and offer it to the Brahmana. The Brahmana says, no, this also belongs to your citizens. Give me something which belongs to you. The king says, okay, then you have to wait. So king changes attire and in disguise he travels in a kingdom asking for some job so that he can earn himself and then offer a charity to a Brahmana. So he meets a blacksmith who is beating iron and then he doesn't have an assistant. So he goes to him and says that, please give me some job so that I can serve you. So then blacksmith says, okay, my assistant is not there. So I will heat up the iron and you have to beat it up with the hammer. So whole night, King Aja beats with the hammer. And in the morning, he gets his salary of 1 taka, 1 coin. So he brings that 1 coin and comes to Brahmana and says, this is my hard-earned property. So I give this as a charity to you. Now Brahmana receives that 1 taka, but then he drops it on the floor. As soon as it hits the ground, it creates a hole and the coin is also lost. So Brahmana goes to dig up the earth so that he gets the coin. But as he starts digging the earth, he gets one golden chariot out of ground, appears there. But the coin is still there. So he keeps digging again. Another golden chariot appears. But the coin is not found. So he again digs up. Another golden chariot appears. Like that, 9 golden chariots appear from the earth. He still digs up for the coin. And then the 10th chariot appears. And on that chariot is a small boy. And then that Brahmana, who is Lord Shiva himself, gives that small boy to Aja. And said, this is your son. And because he is born on a 10th chariot, his name should be Dasharath. So that's how Dasharath is born. So when he was born, father gave him the name Nemi. So his initial name was Nemi. And then because of his prowess and everything also, he got the title Dasharath. So Nemi, when he's a small child, goes to Gurukul, learns so many arts. And then he learns a special art, which is Shabda Vedhi. So he can hit an object just by hearing the sound. So he goes to the forest to practice his new art. And he stations himself behind a tree just besides a lake. And just hearing animals drinking water, may they be at any corner of the lake, he hits them right at their heart. And so like that, he kills so many buffaloes, wild boars, tigers. And then night falls. And then he sees that this is the right chance to practice this art because I will not be actually seeing. And in the night, he hears a sound as if an elephant is drinking water from the lake. And then he shoots an arrow. But we know that he is Shravan Kumar, who is filling a pot. So when filling a pot, an elephant drinking water, they sound same. So as soon as he is hit by an arrow, he shouts, who is that man who is not my enemy and still he is hitting me like this? So hearing the human voice, Dasharatha Maharaj immediately runs, understanding that it's a mistake. So as he goes, he sees a Shravan Kumar about to die. Shravan Kumar says, give me a favor. The path which I walked, if you walk on the same path, you will see my unfortunate blind parents. Please give them water and please yourself go and inform them that what you have done and what has happened to me. In few moments I will be dying. So better you only personally go and give the news of this death to my parents. That will save you. And Shravan Kumar says, and this arrow which is piercing my heart, it's so painful. You please remove this arrow. Dasharatha Maharaj thinks that if I remove this arrow, this small boy cannot survive. But because he requests, so he tries to remove the arrow and Shravan Kumar leaves his body there. So taking a pot filled with water, Dasharatha Maharaj walks the path from where Shravan Kumar came. And then he sees the unfortunate parents who are waiting for Shravan Kumar in the night. As soon as they hear the footsteps, they ask, oh, Shravan Kumar, why you are so late? And the father says, your mother was scolding you. That is very mischievous, naughty. You must be playing in waters, in jungle. So why are you so late? So Dasharatha Maharaj, feeling himself very unfortunate, he says, I am not your child. I am the unfortunate king by whose arrows your son left his body. So the father becomes very disturbed and he says that because you killed my son, you should have died till now. But because you yourself came and informed the news, you are saved. But still, because I feel that pain of separation from my child, I curse you that you will also die in separation from your son. Now, Dashrath Maharaj is not yet married. His son is also not yet born. But he gets a curse that he will die a painful death in separation from his son. After some time, he gets married. First queen is Kaushalya, second is Sumitra, and then he marries so many queens, and the last and the youngest is Kaikeyi. So when he goes to Kaikeyi Raj, there he sees Kaikeyi, which is very beautiful and young. So he only proposes to her father that I want to marry your daughter. The father sees that my daughter is very beautiful and so young, and this person already has 350 wives. So how can my daughter remain peaceful in that house? So many co-wives. So he asks a benediction that please grant me a boon that you will keep her happy by making her son only the king. Now, Dasharath Maharaj had married so many wives, but he had not received any son till now. So he thinks if she gives a birth to a son, naturally he will only become the king. So he says, okay, I grant you a boon that her son only will become the king. Now, Dasharath Maharaj, this curse of a father of Shravan Kumar, he has given this benediction to Kaikeyi Raj. So he remembers everything, but till now, in Ramayana at least, he has not disclosed these things to any queen or any minister by that way. So Dasharath Maharaj is living with these curses and benedictions, whatever. So one day, Indra comes to Dasharath Maharaj and says that you are so powerful. In past, your forefathers have helped us in fighting the demons. So currently again, some demons are attacking. Shumbhasur is attacking the Alkapuri. So please come and save us. So Dasharath Maharaj, as soon as he boards his chariot to go and fight with Shumbhasur, so Kaikeyi says, I will also join you. And Kaikeyi becomes the charioteer. Just like Krishna becomes the charioteer for Arjuna. Kaikeyi becomes the charioteer for Dasharath Maharaj. And then they both go for the fight. Sometimes we hear people saying that in Vedic Sanskriti, women are not very much empowered and they are kept only behind the curtains. But it's not the case. We see Kaikeyi fighting a battle as a charioteer. And that too, not earthly battle, in the heavens, fighting the demons. So if somebody had a caliber, that was encouraged. So Kaikeyi was fighting a battle, and Shumbhasur is a great demon. As soon as he starts fighting, so he breaks down the one wheel of Dasharath Maharaj's chariot and breaks down the armor of Dasharath Maharaj. Dasharath Maharaj is falling unconscious. So Kaikeyi immediately jumps off the running chariot, fixes the wheel, attaches the wheel to the axle, comes back to the chariot, and drives so swiftly that saves Dasharath Maharaj's life. Dasharath Maharaj, when he comes to his senses, he sees that Kaikeyi has done a great favor. Two favors. One is fixing the wheel, another is saving my life by swift driving. So he immediately utters a boon. That today I grant you two boons. Please ask whatever you want. Now Kaikeyi says, I don't want anything. I am very, very happy under your care, Dasharath Maharaj. Dasharath Maharaj said, no, but ask two boons. He said, but I don't want to ask. I have everything under your care. I don't want anything. Kaikeyi was completely happy under Dasharath Maharaj's care. But Dasharath Maharaj said, I have already said that I grant you two boons. In our family, we have a problem. Ragukula Rita Sada Chaliyai, Prana Jai Parvachan Na Jai. So I have uttered a boon, so you have to ask now. But Kaikeyi, even after thinking, she is not able to ask for even a single thing. Kaikeyi says, I will ask later. So Kaikeyi forgets, Dasharath Maharaj also forgets, but Banthara remembers. So if we, though we are practicing devotion service, if at a dead of night somebody wakes up us and says that, ask a boon, we will have something to ask. We are not so satisfied. But Kaikeyi, even after prompting so much, she was so happy and satisfied. She said, I don't want anything. If I need something in future, I will ask. Just to take care that your words will come true. So like that, Dasharath Maharaj is living his life. Now Dasharatha Maharaj, it's so true to his words that one time when he is kind of joking with Varshini, who is a sister of Kausalya. Now Kausalya has a sister, her name is Varshini, who is married to Rompad Maharaj. Now Rompad Maharaj and Varshini also doesn't have a child. And Kausalya and Dasharatha Maharaj also not having a child. So as they are conversing, who will get the child first? So in that joking, Dasharatha Maharaj said, if I get first, I will donate you. I will offer that child to you. So from Kausalya, Shanta is born as a daughter. So Dasharatha Maharaj, just to be true to his words, though in a joking mood, he actually make this Shanta being adopted by Rompad Maharaj. So Shanta becomes the daughter of Rompad Maharaj, which gets then married to Rishi Shringa. And the same Rishi Shringa again becomes helpful to Dasharatha Maharaj. So Dasharatha Maharaj, when he for a long time doesn't get a son, he approaches Rompad Maharaj and says that, this is a great problem, what should I do? So he's like sadhu of Dasharatha Maharaj. So Rompad Maharaj says, this is my son-in-law, Rishi Shringa, he's a very, very great, loyal and pure sage. Just by coming here, coming of him in my kingdom, the great problem of drought, which was occurring since so many years, no rains, got solved. So maybe if you can invite him to your kingdom, your problems also will get solved. So Dasharatha Maharaj goes to Rishi Shringa and invites him, you please come and stay in Ayodhya. So Rishi Shringa visits Ayodhya. So as Rishi Shringa comes as a guest, Dasharatha Maharaj just keeps serving him. He gives a very nice hospitality, makes him eat, relax, sleep, a nice accommodation. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, month. For so many months he stays. Now if we invite somebody for some specific task, as soon as they come and drink some water, we immediately go to the point and say that this is the task you have to do for us. But Dasharatha Maharaj even doesn't utter a word. Now Rishi Shringa stays there, receives the hospitality. His heart becomes so satisfied with the hospitality. Then he asks, should I do something for you? And out of his own, he arranges Ashwamedha Yagya, does Ashwamedha Yagya for the prosperity and everything. But then Dasharatha Maharaj says, if you want to really want to give me a favor, can you do another Yagya, Putra Kameshti? So that is problem of no child will be solved. So then Putra Kameshti Yagya is done. And then Yagya is successful. Agnidev himself, or Yagya Purusha, whatever, he appears in a golden form, red clothing, and with a golden pot in his hand, having a rice preparation. Some says kheer, some says payasam, some says pakhal, whatever. So whatever rice preparation he had in his hands. So he gave it to Dasharatha Maharaj. The Dasharatha Maharaj is happy to receive that, and Dasharatha Maharaj thinks that who should be the fortunate queen to get this. Now who is the most favorite queen? Kaikeyi is the most favorite because she is the youngest and most beautiful. And also he remembers that I also have given a boon to her father that her son will become the king. But Dasharatha Maharaj, surprisingly, first goes to Kausalya. Now Kausalya may not be the favorite queen of Dasharatha Maharaj, but Kausalya is very dharmanishtha. Every day she is performing puja, vrata, upavas, serving brahmanas, giving charity and asking for a benediction to Dasharatha Maharaj and the kingdom and citizens. So Dasharatha Maharaj approaches Kausalya and gives the 50% share to Kausalya. Now he's remaining with the 50%. He comes to Sumitra, but then he divides that 50 also into two halves. The 25 he gives to Sumitra. Then he comes to Kaikeyi. Thinks that, should I give this remaining 25 to Kaikeyi? Again divides into two. Gives only 12.5% to Kaikeyi. And remaining again gives back to Sumitra. So on Chaitra Shukla Navami, we know 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Ram is born to Kausalya. Next day early morning, Bharat is born to Kaikeyi. And then next day, that is Dashmi afternoon, Lakshmana and Shatrughna are born. Now Dasharatha Maharaj is very happy to get these children. And then we know the story is you are aware. Then Vishwamitra Muni comes when Ram and Lakshmana are grown up. Vishwamitra Muni asks for Ram and Lakshmana. Dasharatha Maharaj is very unhappy Then he must display the, how can I give this Ram to Vishwamitra Muni, and that too in the forest for killing demons. Dashrath Maharaj gives so many options that instead of Ram, I myself will come. I am already famous for killing asuras, even in heavenly kingdoms. This is just a 2-year boy. What they will do? Or you can take my whole army, but spare Ram. But Vishwamitra Muni says, if you want to give Ram, give, otherwise I am going. But Dashrath Maharaj already promised that I will give you whatever you ask. So again, he is catch between his love for Ram and his word to a Muni. So he consults Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni, that time, forgetting his enmity, he says, Vishwamitra is himself capable, so don't worry, please give Ram. And actually Vishwamitra, who is a mitra for whole Vishwa, he will actually give so many divine astras to Lord Ram, and he will be safe, don't worry. Then the Swayamvar happens, and Dashrath Maharaj also gets Sita as a daughter-in-law. Now as Ram and Sita are staying in Ayodhya, Dashrath Maharaj remembers the curse given by father of Shravan Kumar. You will die of separation from your child. So he wants to make Ram king as soon as possible. So in emergency, he calls a meeting of all the ministers and all the heads of society. So many heads are assembled in his assembly hall. And he makes an announcement that if you all agree, I want to make a proposal that my son, Lord Ram, becomes the king. And every citizen becomes so happy, and they congratulate Dashrath Maharaj that in 60,000 years of your rule, this is the best decision you have taken. That is retirement. So Dashrath Maharaj asked, I am not a good king. You are feeling like that. He said, no, you are a very good king, but Ram is the best. So Ram becoming the king, we are most happy. Dashrath Maharaj said, immediately, tomorrow morning only, we will coronate Ram as a king. So then all arrangements are done. Vasishtha, along with all the Brahmanas, all the important people of the city, they are gathered. All the arrangements are done. And in that haste, Dashrath Maharaj doesn't invite many people. Even Janak Maharaj is not invited. KK Raj is not invited. Bharat Shatrughna, they are in KK Desh. They are not in Ayodhya. But Dashrath Maharaj says, no, it's an emergency. We should immediately do it. He only knows why there is emergency. He has not told anybody. He only has that insecurity, and he himself only feeling and suffering it. He has not shared with anybody. So then the coronation is about to happen. In the night, we know the story. Kaikai calls Dashrath Maharaj. Mantra poisons Kaikai with the poisonous words that you don't know what is good for you. And then she only reminds of the two boons, that Bharat should become the king and Lord Ram should go to the forest. Now when Dashrath Maharaj comes, Kaikai asks these two boons. Dashrath Maharaj feels so much pain that he falls unconscious. When he gets up, he starts bleeding, crying, yelling, falling at the lotus feet of Kaikai and asking that, please spare me. Please spare Ram from going to Vanavas. If you want, I can make Bharat the king. But why you want to send Ram to Vanavas? Don't you love Ram? I have seen that you love Ram more than Bharat. And Ram is also serving you so nicely. So both had a very good relationship, but because of the overnight poisoning, Kaikai's heart had changed. So Dashrath Maharaj, as he is scolding Kaikai, he says that, oh Kaikai, it's not your fault. I know you are a good lady. These are not your words. It's very difficult to say this when somebody is asking, which is very, very dear to your heart. But Dashrath Maharaj says that, if I remember your character throughout your life, you have not acted like this anytime. There is no precedence of this event. It's just today that you are acting like this. So it's not your words. So by that one demand of Kaikai, Dashrath Maharaj doesn't condemn Kaikai as a whole. He said that you are a nice lady, but today you are acting differently. Then still, after giving so many options, Kaikai doesn't agree. She becomes very stubborn. Her heart becomes steel frame. So Dashrath Maharaj starts talking about the woman as general. He says, Dhigastu Yoshuto Nama Shatha Swartha Parasada. He says, Dhik Astu. He says, I condemn Yoshuto Nama. all the ladies, he says, shathaha, because they are cheaters, and swarthapara sada, they are always self-interested, and for the self-interest and the cheating purposes, they can do anything. So somebody says, how can he generalize this? So that is the half part of the shloka. Next part, he says, na bravimi striya sarva, I am not talking about all the striyas. Immediately clarifies. He says, Bharatasya eva mataram. I am just talking about this lady who is trying to become a mother of Bharat by asking a kingdom for him. So he very specifically says that I am condemning a lady who is in this mentality. It's not a general statement. Sometimes people take just a half statement and says that this is the truth. But Dashrath Maharaj, while presenting his opinion also, in that very painful situation, he is very mindful of what he is speaking. Because his whole life is about setting a good example. So whatever he speaks, it's all balanced and perfect. So then, Kaikeyi is not agreeing. So Dashrath Maharaj, it's about to be morning. He's not yet bathed himself, washed his mouth. So all the ladies who are generally waking up Dashrath Maharaj, they start singing the songs for his glorification. But still he's in that same state. And then Sumantra comes. Now, Sumantra has arranged everything. All priests, all yagyas, all sthalis, all decorations, all paths, everything is ready. So, Sumantra just wants to go from Dashrath Maharaj. So, he comes to Dashrath Maharaj's palace, wakes him up. But he sees that he is not in good condition. He says, Baba, it's too late. Today is a very important day. Better you get up, get bathing and everything and be ready. Come out and just instruct us that please coronate Lord Ram and we will do the needful. But Dashrath Maharaj is in so much pain, he says, you first call Lord Ram here. So Sumantra goes to the Lord Ram's palace. There's a beautiful description. And then Lord Ram is with Mother Sita. Now Mother Sita is also not slept whole night because she is anxious about the ceremony which is going to happen tomorrow. Because in big ceremonies, the main host or the yajman who sits for the yajna, he has to do so many things. Just like if you see 26 January or 15 August parade, PM stands at different places, two steps here, and then some army parade comes, offers salutes, then he has to walk 10 steps, and then another troop comes, and then he walks to 10 steps, and again flag hosting, and then go to some other steps, and then give a speech. So everything is well planned. So similarly, coronation is like 1,000 times bigger than the flag hosting. So everything is very pakka. But Sita is very small. But Sita is like anxious that tomorrow, what I have to do? So one word Valmiki says is she was like practicing mentally. What tomorrow I have to do? Where I have to stand? Then where to go? And then Ram and Sita are standing. And Sumantra comes and informs that Dashrath Maharaj wants to see you. But he is right now in the Kopa Bhavan of Kaikeyi. So Ram gets an idea that it's a Rajyabhishek day. And Maharaj and Kaikeyi Mata wants to see me. So it's something regarding Rajyabhishek. So he says, Sita, don't worry. Immediately I will be back. So he comes with apprehension, enters many gates and approaches Dashrath and Kaikeyi. When Lord Ram sees Dashrath Maharaj in that broken state, crying tears, disabled hairs, not yet ready, lost the luster of a king. When Lord Ram sees Dashrath Maharaj in that condition, he's stuck with a fear. Lord Ram is becoming very, very fearful. And he's telling to Kaikeyi that today I am feeling very much ashamed. Even after touching his feet, he's not embracing me. He's not talking to me. As if he's fearful of talking to me. Or he has lost faith in me. So what offense I have done to Dashrath that he is not talking to me. Then he says, Kaikeyi, you are the favorite queen. Oh mother, please make him happy and ask what he wants to talk to me. For what he has called me here. So Kaikeyi says, seeing Lord Ram, Dashrath Maharaj just says Ram and is not able to talk ahead. So Kaikeyi says, your father has given me two boons, but right now he is not able to speak because he fears that you may follow, you may not follow. So Ram says, I am ready to even give up my life if you ask for. So then Kaikeyi says, two boons, sir, you should go to 14 years of exile and Bharat should become the king. So Lord Ram is not little bothered by hearing these two boons. He says, the only regret I have is that you could not ask me directly. Maybe I fell short in my service to you. That's why I could not gain sufficient confidence from you, O Mother. But if you ask me directly, I would have fulfilled your boons. There was no need to trouble my father to such an extent. Kaikeyi says your father is in that condition because he is not able to follow his dharma of giving a benediction and not fulfilling. So if you want to make him happy, as soon as you go for exile, he will become happy. So Ram says, just give me time so that I can meet Kausalya and Sita, and then next moment I will be in forest. Don't worry. I will immediately send messengers to get Bharat back, and I will be going to exile. She goes to Kausalya's palace. The Kausalya is full night fasting, doing yagyas, vratas, pujas, because Kausalya is feeling that my condition in this palace was like lower than the servants of Kaikeyi. So never got so much love from Dashrath Maharaj or time from him. So today my son, tomorrow my son is going to become king. So achhi din aayenge. So she was hoping for that. And then Lord Ram walks in, and immediately Kausalya takes some Mahaprasad sweets and comes to Lord and says, please eat this. Today is a great day. Lord Ram is telling Kausalya, now onwards I am not able to eat these sweets. So Kausalya, why? The Lord Ram doesn't say that medical reports are out. But Lord Ram says that now I should survive on Kandamula Phalani. So I will not be eating sweet meats, milk sweets. So Kausalya said, but why? Lord said, don't worry, it's just 14 years of exile and I'll be back soon. So Kausalya said, but what happened? The Lord Ram says, it's my father's wish that I should go for 14 years of exile and Bharat will become king. Don't worry, Bharat loves you so much, he will take care of you. But Kausalya faints, again gets up and says, if you are so keen to follow the order of father, I am your mother. And mother's order carries more weightage than father. Because mother takes care of child 9 months more than the father. So you should abide by the orders of mother first. Lord Ram says, you are talking about rights of a mother, but before becoming a mother, you are a wife. You are a wife. So before the rights of a mother comes, first comes the responsibility as a wife. So right now your responsibility is to make your husband dharmanishtha or make his words true. So he asked for a benediction. So I should go to the forest. Now Kausalya says, I cannot stop you. So I should follow you. I will come to the forest. Lord Ram says, no, you should take care of father. When I met him in Kaikeyi's quarters, he was not in a very good condition. So he will need your help. So you better stay here. Now Kausalya is crying, sobbing, but she understands that Lord Ram is not going to listen. He will anyway go. So why to bid him farewell with tears in eyes? So she starts smiling, locking up her sorrow in her heart. And then she calls for so many demigods, devatas, rishis, gurus, and asks for them prediction that wherever my son goes, please protect him. So then Lord Ram consoles Lakshmana, consoles Sita. So Sita and Lakshmana joins Lord Ram. So all three come and meet Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi has kept all Vanvas clothes ready, uniform, Valkalas, the tree bark. So when Lord Ram and Lakshman sees the tree bark, immediately they starts wearing. But Sita is not able to wear. Maharaj says that Lord Ram personally then helps Sita to wear those tree bark. Because tree bark means just strips. So she doesn't know where to start, how to wear. So Lord Ram personally helps. So Kaikeyi says, better you move fast because that will only make Dashrath happy. So when he sees that his benedictions are fulfilled, so his heart will get some solace. So immediately Lord Ram leaves, boards a chariot, Sumantra ties a chariot, goes ahead. Now Dashrath Maharaj starts running behind Lord Ram, calling for Ram, Ram, Ram. Aho kashtam, aho kashtam. Oh Ram, please stop, don't go. So Lord Ram is just leaving full speed. Now Dashrath Maharaj calls to Sumantra. Now Sumantra, stop the chariot. Now Sumantra has served for 60,000 years, Dashrath Maharaj. He is a loyal servant. So Sumantra says to Lord Ram that, I have been following my master's order. Now that master is telling me to stop. What should I do? Ram says, today you should not stop. Because today your responsibility is to make your master glorious to help him follow his dharma and to make his vows, his words truthful. So Sumantra doesn't stop and he continues. Dashrath Maharaj falls on the way, unconscious. So Kausalya comes and grabs Dashrath Maharaj and takes Dashrath Maharaj to her quarters and chambers. For 6 days and nights, Dashrath Maharaj just crying in separation of Lord Ram and uttering his holy name. On the sixth night, Dashrath Maharaj, while he is crying and lamenting, he tells Kausalya that it's not Kaikeyi's fault. It's my own fault which I am suffering. And then on the sixth night, just before he dies, he tells the story of Shravan Kumar to Kausalya. Then Kausalya comes to know what had happened. And Dashrath Maharaj, crying the holy name of Lord Ram, he gives up his body. Now one may see that if we see the life of Dashrath Maharaj, he has struggled so much. 60,000 years of his ruling, but Raman doesn't describe about it so much. But his failure, like many people when they talk about Dashrath Maharaj, they think that there was a king who was so henpecked by his wife, that just to fulfill her desires because of her beauty and charisma, he gave up the company of the Lord Ram, who is Supreme Personality himself. Sometimes people talk about like this, about Dashrath Maharaj. So was Dashrath Maharaj successful or not successful in his life? While following his words, he gave up his life. He could not have Lord Ram besides him, even to do his last rites. So was he successful or not? So scriptures again and again depict such examples, telling that success is not how much fame you get. Success is not how much prosperity you gather, but success is when your life is a great example for coming generations to follow. Dashrath Maharaj was definitely successful, and that's why we are discussing about him. And Dashrath Maharaj, because in the kingly position, anybody who is in leadership position, he always has two lives, and they are always in tug of war with each other. One is his dharma, to set an example for the citizens, for next generations to follow. And another is personal family life. So Dashrath Maharaj compromised on his personal relationships just to set a right example. So that example actually became immortal. Dashrath Maharaj though died at the beginning of Ramayana, but Dashrath Maharaj still became immortal just because of example. Like one time I was telling a story of Shibi Maharaj to some college boys. Like Shibi Maharaj, his example comes again and again in Ramayana about the charity. So Indra and Brahmaji, they take the form of a pigeon and a hawk. And the pigeon comes to Shibi Maharaj and says, please save me, a hawk is chasing me. And Shibi Maharaj says, okay, you sit beside me, I will save you. And the hawk comes and says, give me back my pigeon. This is my food, my breakfast. Shibi Maharaj says, no, he has taken my shelter, he is my praja. So I should give protection. Hawk says, I am also your praja. How is that you are saving one praja and keep other praja fasting? So I am empty stomach, you should feed me. So Shibi Maharaj says that, okay, I will not spare this pigeon, but I will also feed you. So he starts cutting his own flesh from his thighs to feed the hawk. So seeing that charitable disposition of Shibi Maharaj, then Brahmaji reveals his form, Indra reveals his form and says that we are pleased with your such an example. After telling the story, one boy asked me, Prabhuji, this is not a very intelligent proposal. Shibi Maharaj, if he really wanted to protect his citizens, I mean, he is cutting his thighs, taking out a chunk from his own thighs. If he happens to cut the great femoral artery, he will die from the loss of blood. So this is not a very intelligent, this is a very short-term thing he is doing. I said, no, Shibi Maharaj knows that by cutting flesh from his thighs, he may die. But he's ready to die, he's ready to lose his own life just to set an example, because he's sitting in a post. The post carries the responsibility of setting an example for generations to come. If he had not cut his thighs, we would not have discussed about him till now. So he was not thinking about just saving his life that time. So by saving his own life, he would have protected citizens for 1,000 more years. But by cutting his thighs, he was thinking of protecting his citizens for coming generations to come. So sometimes these great kings, they are ready to lay off their lives, lay off their own family kinsmen, just to set a right example so that people follow. Because this verse, Yadeda Acharati Shrestha Tatta Deva Itarajana, Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokasta Danvartate, gets repeated even a couple of times in Bhagavatam also. Because this is a very, very important principle to set a right example, because action speaks louder than words. So when it comes to establishing right virtues and values and dharma, examples are the most important. Whatever good people we see in society currently, they are good just because they have seen some good examples in their lifetime. Unless and until we come across some good people who are following virtues, who themselves are example of those virtues, we are not inspired to walk that path. So all these great kings, they have laid down their lives just to set an example. Sometimes while setting an example, it may come to our mind that will people take inspiration or not? I'm unnecessarily sacrificing on my personal comforts, my personal family relationships. Who knows whether society is registering my example or not? Dasharatha Maharaj died setting an example. Lord Ram, who is the son of Dasharatha Maharaj, he also banished Mother Sita just to set a right example. So any sacrifice done to set an example doesn't go in vain. There is somebody who takes inspiration from it and follows that. So Maharaj told the story of Easy Eddie and O'Hare. So father sacrificed his life for setting an example, and the son also sacrificed his life for protection of the same virtues. We see Jatayu when Ravana attacks. Now Jatayu is a very old bird, and he tries to fight with the 10-headed Rakshasa Ravana. Now Rakshasa is such a great terrorist that even demigods are fearful of him. Now Jatayu, he is just a bird, vulture, but he is not in his youth. He is old, and that his wings are not so powerful. But still, he knows that if I attack Ravana, who will die? Not Ravana. Definitely I will die. But still Jatayu takes a leap and fights Rakshasa. And for some time, Ravana doesn't even care about Jatayu. He's just a vulture. Why will Ravana take even notice of him? But when Jatayu fights so nicely that he takes away the mules of his chariot and then breaks the wheel and breaks his arrows, then Ravana takes him seriously, and with these three shots, he cuts his two wings and legs, and then Jatayu falls down. Jatayu also lost his life. So logically thinking, it was not a thoughtful or calculated risk. It is very easy to understand that you anyway will lose. And still he is doing that. What inspired Jatayu to do that? Now Jatayu, when he was small, he saw a sun and tried to catch the sun. Just like Hanuman did, Jatayu also did. He was a powerful vulture when he was young. So he made a leap to touch the sun. But when as he was approaching the sun closely, the heat of sun started scorching his wings. The heat is going to increase so much that he may lose his life. So when Jatayu's elder brother, Sampati, saw that, Sampati leaped in the air and spread his wing above Jatayu. And the whole scorching heat actually hit Sampati's wings. Both of them fell unconscious and they fell down. But from such a great height that when they came down, they fall away apart. Jatayu fell in Panchodi Janasthan and Sampati in South India. Now, they never met in life, but that one example of personal sacrifice for the protection of another helpless person has created an impression in Jatayu's life. And now Jatayu, when sees another person in helpless condition, is ready to give up his life. So any sacrifice done to set an example is never in vain. So all these great kings like Rishabhdev, Dasharatha Maharaj, Lord Ram, whenever they act, they think that what example or what legacy I am setting for the next generations to come. They don't think about what is the immediate misery or family loss I am going to incur. But they see long term, just to set an example so that people like us who are conditioned to follow not follow virtues, we'll take some inspiration and progress on the path of virtue back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, comments, suggestions? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.